On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, we talk about actual motivation to keep your New Year's resolutions. And surprise, Michael is struggling with this fact.
Hey.
And speaking of struggling, here's a segue for you, Michael. Are you struggling to make your hefty loan payments? Are they killing you with high interest? Are you crippled with debt? Let the experts help you lower your interest rate and save you money. Get to know your friends at Advantage Financial by visiting adfcu.org today. Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 307 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Emily.
As promised, Emily is back, better than ever.
Better than ever.
Yeah, you have an update. So last week we talked about most kills in a horror movie. That was Nick's interesting fact.
Yes.
And there was some debate as to the timeline of when the Saw movies took place.
Yes. Over I said how, it took place over a very short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick said it took place in like a week.
I did.
So according to a forum on fanpop.com, so you can take it with a grain of salt, pretty much everyone speculates that it's taken place in around a year.
Oh. Hmm.
So the first movie happened, and then the second movie took place about 4 months after that. The third movie took place about 6 months after the second. The third and fourth took place at the same time. They were on simultaneous timelines. And then the fifth film immediately preceded that. So it was around a year. And I have a bonus interesting. So they think it was between like 2006 and 2007. But I have a fact about Saw.
Yeah, tell us.
That
segues
into my fact, which is that they say that John Kramer became Jigsaw during the year of the pig.
Okay.
Which is 2019 is the year of the pig.
Oh, so time for another.
Yeah, so it's time
killer.
For another, which is like they had those like pig masks going on in Saw, and apparently like in one of the movies is because they were like at like a
it's the
festival
it the
and there was that going on, which doesn't sound like a thing that happens at New Year's festivals. But my fact is actually about 2019 being the year of the pig.
Oh, cool.
So you guys are familiar
that's
with
that's a good segue.
Yeah, so that's that might be one of the best segues we've ever had.
And very natural and not forced until I
until
pointed,
you pointed
out
it out.
Until you're
yeah.
like, oh. So I don't know how familiar you are with Chinese zodiac. You know that
I've heard
zodiac
of
zodiac is a
I
thing.
Know it's 12 animals.
It's 12 animals. It's also five elements.
Mm.
Oh. And so it goes in. It goes in 12-year cycles of the animals and then in much longer cycles than that for the elements because those 12 years are all one element. The next 12 years are a different element.
Oh.
And so my question is, what element is 2019?
What element? Okay.
Wait. How many elements?
There's five elements.
Okay, so air, fire, water, earth, Mila Jovovich. Those
fifth element. Oh, that's a fifth element.
Fifth element.
That one took me a second.
What are you shaking your head at? That was a good joke.
It was good.
That's solid.
All right, Lizzie, what's your fifth element?
I had a chuckle.
I was thinking Captain Planet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Fifth one is
heart.
Heart,
yeah.
It's the year of the heart pig. It's not.
So what is the fifth element?
Well... Do you want me to tell you what the five elements are?
Yeah.
Yeah, how close are we, first of all?
Well, it's... So the five elements, air's not in there.
Okay.
It's wood, fire, earth, metal, water, in that order.
It sounds like we're about to start a game of Catan.
And then everything changed from the Fire Nation attack.
Earth, fire, water.
Wood, fire, earth, metal, water.
Got it.
I'll take sheep with a roll of six, please. No, okay. I'm going to just say wood.
I'm going to just say metal.
It's a one in five.
It's a one in five. Now that you know what they are.
Yeah. That's a lot more helpful.
So you got wood, metal. Let's go with fire.
It's the year of the earth pig.
Oh.
I was born in the year of the wood pig. So did you know that during the year of your, like, since it's the year of the pig and I was born in the year of the pig, I was like, it's my time to shine. It's my year. No. During the year of, like, the animal of your birth, you have to be, like, extra careful and extra cautious.
Because everything is going to go to hell?
Because apparently, like, it's anger is, like, the god of age or something.
Oh.
And so you have to be, like, extra careful during when the animal is the same as the year of your birth.
Be careful.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so you were, what was your element year?
I was year of the wood pig.
You were the year of the wood pig. So
it's currently year of the earth pig.
Okay.
Because I turned 24 this year, and so 12-year cycles.
Got it.
It's, yeah. Hmm.
Cool. Well, that's a super, super interesting fact. Michael, do you have one?
I do.
I don't know why I looked at you next, but I just felt like you had a segue ready to go.
I don't.
You are all wood, by the way. All three of you are wood, and I am not.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, then.
Are you water?
I am water, yeah.
So, Redondo Beach, California. It's a city in California.
Wait, what is it?
Redondo Beach.
Redondo, okay.
They have, they have an official bird of the city.
Oh, my God.
And it's not a bird.
It's not a bird?
Yep. It is a well-known thing that does fly. I'm having trouble with the question.
An airplane?
It's a type of aircraft.
Helicopter?
Well, it's a specific type of aircraft.
Oh,
it's something you guys would recognize. So my
hot
question
air
is
balloon?
So biplane? My question is specifically, what is the official bird of Redondo Beach?
Is it like a model of plane?
No.
Okay.
A zip line?
No, it's an actual aircraft. It does
Oh, it is
fly.
An aircraft. I was going to say, cuz aren't those like scooters named birds? Aren't the
yes.
little city run
the dodo bird?
Maybe that was founded in Redondo Beach and
it's
no.
not a
it sounds like a California thing, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
A parasail or a para
well,
paragliding?
Like I said, it is a specific.
Oh, it's an aircraft. Parasails.
Some sort of aircraft, airship.
God. More
a
specific
hot air balloon.
Than a helicopter?
Yes. Like if you saw it on TV, you go, I know exactly what that is.
I know exactly what planes are when I see them on TV. I'm like, that's a plane.
Yeah.
No, but it's like
But it could be a bird. Or Superman.
Inevitably, it's Superman.
Inevitably, it's Superman.
All right. If we haven't listed, all right, what are the different kinds of aircraft? You've got airplane, helicopter, glider, hot air balloon, blimp.
Blimp? Is it a blimp?
Zeppelins and blimps.
It may be a type of blimp.
It may be.
Is it the Goodyear blimp?
It is the Goodyear airship. Don't roll your eyes just because you didn't get it this time.
No, it's not upset about not getting it, but boo. What?
I'm upset that that's their city
official
bird. Like, that's, like, sad for them.
That's awesome.
Don't let them hear this.
I will not be sending you a link.
To all of our listeners in Redondo Beach.
The city.
Beach
Emily
trivia.
Thinks you're
hey,
dumb.
I don't
you
like
got,
your
You
bird.
Got me from Southern California. We might have some Redondo listeners.
Uh-huh.
Okay, why?
But, it was the city of Redondo Beach classified the Goodyear blimp as the official city bird in 1983 in anticipation of the 1984 Summer Olympics.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that, why would not, what? what?
There's a lot to unpack.
What is the
where am I losing
right, and there's your secret phrase. Wait, what?
What?
Wait, what is your secret phrase? Wait, what? Make sure you write that down in the music round. You'll get 5 bonus points if you're playing trivia at one of our events and all over.
I'm trying to figure out where
in
I'm
in Redondo
losing
Beach.
You, though, Lindsay.
No, I don't understand. What does Goodyear blimp have to do with the Olympics?
Well, the 84 Olympics were held in Los Angeles.
Cool.
Oh.
So I didn't realize there was blimping. It was an Olympic medal.
Right, but you see the Goodyear blimp, and it's like, that's the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by it's a specific aircraft. It is specifically, it is the Goodyear Airship Columbia, because there have been a couple.
Okay.
I believe there's one on
so,
each coast.
Again, though, wow, that's really great. They have a blimp.
Yes.
How does that relate to the Olympics in the sense that it was flying over the Olympic Village?
Right. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
That's how
was it. Wasn't your interesting fact a couple of years ago about dropping a muskrat on town during New Year's?
That was Elise, and I considered going to that town because I thought that was very interesting because I think muskrats don't get the love and attention that they deserve.
But isn't this the same secret fact just with a blimp instead of a rodent?
I think that they're in a very similar category, yes. I just
and
don't.
Yet,
well, the blimp is related to the Olympics. Like, that's an obvious thing. No,
no
it is not.
I didn't say that the blimp was related to the Olympics. I said they did this. They named it the official bird of Redondo Beach in anticipation of the Olympics.
So what does that mean, in anticipation of the Olympics?
They're in Southern California. The Olympics were in Southern California. They wanted to celebrate it somehow, so they named the Goodyear blimp, which would be flying over the Olympics for an extended period of time as the official bird.
Sorry, because the Goodyear blimp, I'm pretty sure, is like how you get the aerial shots of the Olympics.
Yeah.
There's cameras in the Goodyear blimp, and they get like over the stadium aerial shots.
They still do with a lot of the football games and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that, again, makes sense. But if you're going to name something in anticipation of the Olympics, there's a lot better choices than the Goodyear Blimp. I will die on this hill.
That's fair.
I did not realize Lindsay would be so bitter about this fact.
I'm very passionate about it. I just want blimps to earn their naming right. You know, like they want to earn.
The blimps have not come as far as muskrats.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. You get
the blimps have a long way to go to get to muskrat level.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Lindsay, I agree with you. Michael, you're fired. Get out.
Wow. I thought that was a great fact. I was very happy when I came across that fact.
Michael, that is super interesting. And I'm happy that I
can
now
sense
know it.
The condensation.
The condensation.
I don't even know.
You can sense the condensation.
You have him so flustered.
I was so happy with
Michael,
that fact.
Michael, your fact is bad and you should feel bad.
I do. I came in very happy with this fact. But no, apparently I am wrong.
I'm sorry. I don't want to know either. Okay, that was bad, and I'll admit it.
Yes.
Okay, so Nick, would you like to go, or would you like me to go?
You can go.
Okay, I will.
I mean, I have so much follow up on my stuff. It might take a while, but it might be real fast.
So we can just cut off the podcast like at the end. We're just like done.
See ya. All right. So my fact: 2019 kicked off a couple weeks ago. People maybe have New Year's resolutions. Maybe you've already given up. Maybe you are still sticking with it.
I believe that like 21 days is the average time people go with New Year's resolutions.
21 days is how long it takes to form a habit.
Yeah.
Oh. So 21 days. Okay. Sounds also like the start of a horror movie. Isn't that a
28 days later.
28 days later.
Okay,
yeah.
21 days later. I'm off my resolution.
I'm off my
it was 28
it's
days.
28
and
days
the
later.
Sequel was 28,
28
days
weeks.
Later. Oh, what? You're right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
I've been trying to work out more and train for the U.S. ball hockey thing that I do.
Yeah,
on the side.
I know you have your ball and hockey stick in the office, and you're dribbling like in the middle of the day just to get
for
that
a couple minutes here and there.
Yeah,
aerial coverage brought to you by the Goodyear Blimp.
Oh my god,
I would be pro Goodyear Blimp if they sponsored this world ball hockey thing. But anyway, I'm getting up at like 6 a.m. on a Saturday, and my friend sent me these long text messages like, if you don't get up, like, you know, you got to do this, and like, blah, blah, blah. And so now I'm getting up for this, and then I found this interesting fact, and I realized that I am nothing, and I am humbled. So in November, starting November 3rd, this guy, Colin O'Brady, 33 years old, so not that much older than me, became the first ever person to cross Antarctica unaided. So he was alone, without assistance, went across Antarctica, the entire continent.
Why?
I can go into specifics about where he started and where he ended. The Rhone Ice Shelf to the South Pole, the Ross Ice Shelf specifically. So my question to you, first, how long did that take? And secondly, how many miles did he go during his trek?
Are those both facts?
I can give you the days if you want. That might help you determine the miles. Yes, do you want to know the days?
Well,
the days? How long it took
isn't
him?
The question how long?
No,
you
I'm
asked
gonna
how
ask
long
you,
and how far.
I'm going to ask you how far is the question I'm going to ask at trivia, is the how far, and we'll give the players a range.
Okay.
If they don't remember. But yeah, so how long and how far? Two questions.
He started November 3rd.
Yep.
I was like, that's cool, but I remember that it was actually in the Southern Hemisphere, and it would be like summer, as close as they get to summer.
It was very cold.
I'm going to guess.
It was still very cold.
I bet
cold.
It's still very cold, but it's warmer than it would have been.
Yeah, it was like sub-zero, a little slightly less sub.
Yikes.
Sub.
Yeah, Sarah and I actually had this argument the other day. And
about sub-zero?
About the temperatures in Antarctica.
Oh, okay, as you do.
Yeah, and basically we looked it up, and this was like mid-December, I think it was, and we looked it up, and it was very warm that day in D.C., and it was actually warmer in D.C. It was warmer in Antarctica than it was in D.C. that day.
Well, it's their summer in December.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Okay, I'm going to guess it took him, like, six. I'm going to guess that he was done before the new year.
Okay.
So if he started November 3rd, he probably finished, like, I'm going to say, like, December 12th.
Did you say his mode of transportation?
It's walking.
He
walks okay.
Unaided. If you wanted to know, he carried a 375-pound sled with him 12 to 13 hours a day. So... very
what?
Strong.
Okay.
Yeah, very strong human being. But, yeah, alone without assistance. Yeah.
Michael, you've been conspicuously absent, quiet for the last
I'm thinking,
2 minutes.
You know how I am when I do math. No, I'm just trying to think. So I didn't realize he was dragging the sled along with him.
Okay.
Or pushing or whatever it happens to be. Whichever mode is easier.
Man, he had to...
Had to be dragging.
So close to my mic.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Kind of shopping cart it.
He must have brought so much food with him. I can't imagine, like, the supply.
He could not take a day off or he would have ran out of food. That was something he directly said. He was like, I can't just rest for a day. I have to keep
was
going.
Was 375 pounds the starting weight or the ending weight?
Of the starting weight. I don't know. It's just something that he was quoted as saying. Also, he's an American from Portland, Oregon. So,
hey.
Colin O'Brady, go check out Bridgetown Trivia because you're going to be a question.
All right. If Michael is still doing math in his head, I'm going to talk out loud while I do my math.
Okay, go ahead.
So, he walked across Antarctica. All right. How big is Antarctica? Antarctica
that would
is
be the answer to the second question.
You said he walked across Antarctica, but you said he walked from like an ice shelf to the South Pole, and the South Pole's in
is
like the center of Antarctica.
Yeah,
isn't
that the radius?
Did he walk the radius or did he walk the entire diameter?
Well, I'm assuming
of Antarctica?
If he goes in, he has to come back out.
I thought that maybe he'd get like airlifted out of like the middle. They would come and get him from the South Pole.
It is the first person to cross Antarctica unaided.
Okay.
So cross
that would be diameter then.
Yeah.
Is it? Is it?
Yes.
Okay, in that case, I was given 6 weeks for the radius.
So that would be 12 weeks.
So I guess
12
weeks. Yeah, let's say it took him 3 months. Man, I'd get so bored.
I'm guessing that's a pretty good guess.
Like 3 months.
I'm saying it's, 3 or 4 months, 120 to 150 days, something in that general. That's not right. 90 to 120 days, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 5 months.
You said he started in November?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the assumption that he's done now.
I'm going with.
I would not be asking the fact if
this
he
is this
not
is what
done.
I'm saying.
Yeah, so he has to be done by now.
So like, well, that's what I'm saying. 4 or 5 months, he's not done.
Oh,
he's still
I missed
going.
That she said he started like
started November
3rd,
2018.
I'm gonna say 65 days.
Okay, so are you ready to lock in your answers?
I'm gonna go with six. I'm gonna scale it back to 6 weeks. He was done December 12th, so that would be
5 weeks.
But how many?
I want to change
like
my answer.
I'm going to say 36 days.
36 days. Michael, I need your answer in days, please.
49.
49 days?
I'm going to penalize myself for not paying attention and say 120.
Okay, so he went across 54 days, according to his Instagram. One of the other articles said that they finished in 53, but his official Instagram says 54.
Sure.
And most of the other articles say 54 days. So how many miles did he do in those 54 days? And this is the question that I'm going to ask.
Many.
How many miles did he do 54 days?
So I've hiked large portions of the Appalachian Trail, and like 6 to 8 miles a day is a really good like amateur clip. So assuming that he is not an amateur?
He is not. He has climbed the seven summits, which, highest mountain on all the continents. He's done every highest peak in every state in the U.S.
Does he have a job?
Motivational. He's
a
professional motivational speaker. And tragedy at a holiday. And I think he burned. I don't want to go into too specifics, but he was told he's never going to walk normally again. And he used that as motivation. And that's now become his career in accomplishing the impossible. So,
all right.
Pretty cool for him to turn it into some neat stuff.
So if he's a professional, let's say he did, 15 miles a day, 20 miles a day, 25 miles a day?
25 miles a day.
I'm trying to think of, like, the size of Antarctica.
Okay.
And now that I know it's 54 days, I'm trying to just kind of...
I can tell you that the average annual temperature ranges negative 10 degrees Celsius on the coast to negative 60 at the highest parts of the interior, which is not helpful to the distance, but just wanted to let you know.
That he was having a rough time.
So how big is Antarctica? Antarctica is roughly half the size of the United States. Is that a reasonable thumb in the air?
I
would have thought bigger.
I was thinking because like I drove from Colorado to Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And that was 1,600 miles.
Okay.
So I was kind of like using that as like a guesstimate, maybe like a benchmark. Like somewhere within.
I think that's a good guess. I think
1,600
miles.
1,600
miles. Yeah, is a good guess. But 1,600 miles divided by 54 days.
with a 375 pound sled.
Right. It's 30 miles a day. I mean, I guess that's
reasonable.
And Lindsay said
12 hours a day.
12 hours a day is 2 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Dragging a 300-pound sled
through minus 10 degree weather.
And I assume snow and ice?
Yes, there was
that
snow
sounds
and ice.
Right.
I can confirm that both of those
things.
2 miles
an hour is not that fast.
All right, lock in your answers, everybody.
I
need
how
many 1600
miles?
1,600 miles.
2,000 miles.
2,000 miles?
600 miles.
Nick, you're the closest.
Okay.
So we averaged, just by my very quick math, 17 miles a day and
wow.
921 miles.
That can't be the diameter
I don't
of
know
Antarctica.
His,
that
I don't,
has to be the radius.
I don't know his exact math, or map, I mean. I'm sure that we can definitely dig it up and find it. But yeah, 921 miles, first person to do it across Antarctica. And now I would like to do one more thing about this interesting fact.
Sure.
Okay.
As I do. You're sitting at a bar.
Yeah.
Specifically in Chile. You're Colin O'Brady.
Okay.
And you're talking to this guy, Lou Rudd.
Okay.
Like, hey, what are you guys, what are you up to?
Uh-huh.
He's like, hey, I'm going to go across Antarctica solo. And Lou Rudd was like, me too. So he meets a guy at a bar in Chile.
Who's doing the same thing.
Who's doing the same thing and is landing the same day. And so they decided to make it
a
formal
race.
Competition. And
yeah,
make
absolutely.
It a race. Yeah, so Lou.
Do they start at either end and meet in the middle?
I don't know exactly
not
where they started. They both were delayed because of weather conditions. So I think they started around the same spot. They said throughout the journey they didn't interact at all, but they could see each other as specks across the horizon. And they obviously couldn't help if they saw other humans at a research base or anything because,
right.
Yeah, that obviously would now have problems.
I mean, it
with
wasn't
them.
So low, yeah.
Yeah, but he finished. So Lou Rudd finished in 56 days. So that was another reason why Colin couldn't stop at all because he
was
racing somebody
yeah.
else. Yeah. So Lou Rudd became the first British man to cross solo. Colin became obviously the first American and the first person in the
right.
world to do so, but I would watch the heck out of that movie. That's the most amazing race, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was way better than the one with the riddles and the challenges.
And they just agreed to make it a formal competition, just met at a hotel bar in Chile a few days earlier, because that's one of the launching points to get to Antarctica.
Did either one bring a Capitals jersey to once again stick it to the Penguins?
I don't think that they did do that, but
okay.
they did use their body heat at night to dry all their wet clothes, which I thought was super interesting. And somebody 2 years earlier, Lou was doing it in honor of one of his friends that tried to do the same thing but passed away or had to call for help 30 miles from the finish line.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
And passed away from an illness. So Lou did carry with, I think, a flag of his with him so that he could actually
hard pass
cross the finish line. So that's what he did. He brought his buddy's flag
right.
with him so they, you know, both are successful, both an amazing feat. And I am going to remember this when I'm up in my butt at 6 a.m. complaining about working out.
In your 65-degree temperature
yeah.
in your climate-controlled gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's it. That's my fact. 921 yeah. miles.
I found the map.
Oh, yeah, it did. Awesome.
And so it looks like it was kind of a diameter. If you look at it, he, like, goes into the South Pole and then back out.
Okay.
And down. And so it was all the way from, like, coast to coast. But he also chose the narrowest part of Antarctica.
Well,
because
as
if
you
go,
right.
yeah, yeah, as you do. But like, I was like, Antarctica's a giant, almost circle.
Yeah.
And going through that would be massive. But there's kind of like a little.
So
I'm
like,
sure that
right.
some of
like
the
this right here.
And
I'm
it's
sure.
also like the
yeah.
the
yeah.
land portion of it or the ice portion of it, because the ice portion of it, I think, makes up like 60% of its mass.
Yeah, I also want to know what his cell phone bills and the roaming on, because he was Instagramming it the whole time.
Live?
Well, he would post pictures of like his updates and things, and obviously they had satellite phones.
I would much rather know his service provider than what the cost was.
Well, you can get satellite phones and yeah. different services.
We can't
things,
get signal in our office, and he can signal the South Pole? That's ridiculous.
They have special satellites and things, I'm sure.
And they were like, I don't know if he had like a GoPro, but like, watch the race live, and then you're just watching this dude. Just walk across Antarctica.
Yeah.
I just have that live streaming.
Oh, man. I couldn't imagine just the mental capacity to do that and be alone and just so utterly alone for that amount of time. But
ENTJ for life.
ENTJ for life. Okay, Nick. So you got to go pretty quick.
We can skip me.
I
can save it for next week.
Very quickly, give us your fact, and we're going to be 2 minutes or less on this.
Okay.
I'm putting a timer on it. We're going to call it the speed fact last round
right. All right,
question
here we go.
Thing.
At
we'll
what,
come up with a better name.
At what?
In progress.
At what decibel level will the human head explode?
Oh, my God.
And a couple of supporting facts.
This is my backup fact.
A chainsaw. Was it really?
It really was.
A chainsaw is 30 decibels.
Mm-hmm.
An iPod at max volume in your earbuds in your ears is 110 decibels. A shotgun going off by your ear is 165 decibels. The loudest sporting event ever was at a Kansas City Chiefs game, was 142.2 decibels.
Oh, see, I would have guessed Seattle.
And it explodes. It's Kansas City. It physically explodes.
Yeah, it turns from a sound wave into a shock wave, and it causes the pummeling of the body.
I'm going to guess that it's like around the same decibels. Not that I know, but like it's around the same decibels that like nearly anything would explode. Like a watermelon would explode.
Okay.
The brown note.
The brown note.
I talked about decibel meters or dBs. You know what I'm talking about. The sound levels.
Decibels.
Decibels, yes. When I say decibel meters, that's the measurement. I don't know. And 140 to 150 is about where your eardrum ruptures.
Correct.
And I remember that specifically.
Right. The loudest sound.
So it's got to be higher than that.
The loudest sound ever was the explosion of Krakatoa. And it could be heard 3,000 miles away from its source.
Wow. And that's not counting underground stuff, because I think there's a couple types of shrimp that.
Oh, yeah, the mantis shrimp.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're at 100 minute and 30 seconds after you told me we had 2 minutes, so.
I know it, so I'm going to withdraw myself.
420 decibels.
420 decibels.
Wow. Excellent. I'll say 250.
Okay.
Another 100 more than what it would take to rupture your eardrum, because that's causing significant damage
that's
to
true.
Sure.
Human cell.
Michael?
I know it, so I'm going to withdraw myself.
Go for it.
280.
280 is incorrect. Lindsay is actually the closest. 240 decibels.
That's pretty loud.
Emily, you flip-flopped your numbers at 420.
Oh, right.
It's 240 decibels. And the thickness of the skull is actually a factor in the calculations as far
so
as
like,
it is, because the human head's so durable. But yeah, that was the loudest thing ever, 172 decibels, was Krakatoa. But I thought it was amazing that at a Chiefs game it gets to 142
like
decibels.
Baby's head.
And yet, you know, 100 decibels more than that and everybody dies.
Yeah, it's...
But 100 decibels is a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't sound like a ton, but it's like if you took that and then doubled it.
As I understand it, it's anything north of 100 is potentially damaging.
Damaging, yes, that is correct.
Yeah, wear your earplugs, headphones, et cetera.
Turn your volume down.
Okay, cool. Well done, Nick. Right in the perfect amount of time in our last super fact bonus fun time. We'll work on it. Name in progress. Emily, thanks so much. You're going to see her out at a bunch of different district trivia venues, so thanks for being back. We'll definitely have you on the podcast again. Michael, thanks for your great fact
it's
today.
Been a pleasure.
Look
I've been fired,
Renando
so this will, be, this will be my last podcast.
You're filling us with the hot air. You know what I'm
saying?
Are
you accepting applications?
This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Emily.
We don't know either.
Bye.